97.1.
Everybody, welcome back in. You know, before we dig into our book, Truth, Lies, and Control, I want to give you a couple of announcements and invite you to two important events. First up, Envisions Festival of Trees continues with its very important fundraising. This coming Saturday is their gala. You can still get tickets. You can go online with Envision. And if you just Google Envision, it'll pop up for you. And so, get your tickets and put on something sparkly. And then beginning today through December the 14th, IdaHopeFamilies.org is having a walk through the downtown auction. There are tons of businesses like Pondre Winery and Hallmark and Eve's Leaves and a couple on the Cedar Street Bridge and more. And they have auction items, and you get to bid on these auction items. And this is the way it works. You bid. If you win, you get the stuff. And it's all good. So that's IdaHopeFamilies.org, and you can get information for that also. All right. Isn't it fun in the holidays, Don, here in Sandpoint? We have so many things going on.
Yes, and we've all taken pictures around that tree down at the Jeff Jones Square, haven't we?
Yes, yeah. And they just lit that, wasn't it, Friday?
I think so.
Well, officially, welcome to the program, Don. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for doing it for nearly three decades.
Oh my gosh, who's counting? I'm not that old, am I? You know, you are always an inspiration to many, many, many people, including me. You write books, you're CEO of your own corporation, Veritas Communication, and you have climbed a whole bunch of 14,000-foot mountains. You're amazing.
You know, if you live long enough and you like to do stuff outside, then eventually all sort of gather steam at the end, and you've got all this exciting stuff that you've been able to do.
How do you have time to write a book?
I think you have to feel passionate about a topic. I don't think you do anything well in life unless you have a passion for it. And the same thing for kids. I mean, if they aren't really excited about what they're doing or their studies, I mean, you'll know it. It's easy to see their aptitudes young.
Yeah. And you need to watch for that, because that's the way they learn. They might not be that turned on by math yet, so don't force it. Let them get excited about something else.
Yeah,
I think
kids engage a lot better when they're doing something besides, okay, now you need to sit down and do your homework. But if you're out shooting baskets and they like sports or they like batting averages, then you can figure it out that way, and it can help them learn math in a whole different way.
Exactly. I like that. Well, your book, I have to tell you, Truth, Lies, and Control. I enjoyed it very much. I didn't read every word, but I read a lot and skimmed a lot. So I thank you for that. And your book, the first part of your book, or kind of throughout it, you're talking about very disturbing trends that have been going on in America for some time. What are some of the trends that you're looking at that are very concerning?
You know, I think when we look at, a lot of people are saying, how did we get to where we are today? I mean, can we go back to some place of normalcy where we can actually have conversations with one another who are different? And I think on some level, in some places, we've kind of gone past that. I hate to say that, because I like to believe that there's always hope, and I think there is if we stay open-minded. But back in the 60s and 70s, there were a lot of things that began to happen that we allowed to happen, and even people like Governor Reagan of California at the time, who was the governor who put through a no-fault divorce. We think, well, that's good. You know, people don't feel stigmatized, and we can just keep them out of the courts. Reagan then came back later and said it was the worst decision he'd ever made in his life.
Yes.
Why does that matter? Because families matter in the lives of kids. If kids are hurting, and we see the suicide rate right now amongst young people is sky high. You could say, well, it's a pandemic. Oh, it's global warming. People are feeling a sense of hopelessness. I think it's all of those things. But mostly, I think it goes back to policies and decisions that were made back then. 73, we had Roe v. Wade, which was a huge thing. We now have jobs that aren't being filled because there's 60 million non-people. That's an amazing thing that nobody ever talks about. But what happens to all these children that don't exist or that would have been adults today that would have been taking jobs? So like Europe, we end up having to import jobs. Yeah. So I looked at all these sociological things. I look at the Stonewall riots. I look at all of these different things and I say, this has all come to fruition today. It may even be on black and white issues. We see crime. We see lack of respect for authority in general. It starts in the home. And if you have a single mom trying to, you know, raise kids, it's a hard thing to do. I'm not saying it's impossible. It's just so much more difficult. So,
and Don, don't you think that once we cross certain lines, like even though Roe v. Wade has been turned around, it's just been returned to the states. It wasn't completely negated, except at the federal law level. It's still legal in any state that wants to have whatever they want to allow. But once we cross some of those lines, it's almost impossible to go back. It's really hard to, like Reagan regretted. Who was the gal that started the Roe v. Wade thing?
Norma Rowe.
Yeah, she regretted later.
She did.
And said, no, you know, this isn't what I thought it would be. But it's just impossible to get the toothpaste back in the tube.
And it's, you know, you've got people listening today that have been through it. I get that, understand it. And as a person of faith, you know, I think God forgives us for whatever happens in our lives. I mean, you can't look at anybody in the Bible and see a perfect person because they don't exist.
Or anybody in church.
But you look at these patterns, you know, that we allow, and you see them throughout history, and you have to pay attention to these things and not just, I mean, you can't say this is healthcare. This makes no sense to most people. You can't say that some of what we see happening with minor students, minor children who are going in for gender reassignment surgeries who are simply gender dysphoric. You can't say that's a positive thing. It's really not a positive thing. This is crazy nonsense. You can't see the disintegration of Title IX, and you're seeing men playing against, you know, women in their own sports and say, are you kidding?
This is
why I'm saying we scratch our head. We're defunding police.
You only have to see the video of that guy. Was it boxing or wrestling? I think it was boxing.
In the Olympics.
And they've got the shot of his fist, you know, hitting her face, even with the helmet on. It was just unbelievable. It was just like so wrong. You know, one thought is one of the things in your book, a chapter that really got my attention was the insanity. Crime is on the rise in many, many, many of our cities and areas, and yet there are people actually still pushing. They continue to pass laws to defund the police. How is that even understandable?
Well, if you create anarchy. I mean, you create anarchy by taking away the rule of law, no matter where you are. I mean, even in your own home.
Yes.
So, you know, if you tell your kids, hey, you can do whatever you want to do. I don't care. You know, I'm what's called a free-range parent. I just let my kids kind of discover life on their own. That's insanity. So we're doing free-range politics throughout cities in the United States. We're watching it happen in Denver. We've seen it happen during the Antifa riots in Portland and elsewhere, Seattle, Los Angeles, and Gascon, who was, you know, the guy who making the decisions on whether people, you know, face consequences of their crime or not. So what I learned through writing this book, one of the things that's really interesting is that there's less than 1% of all people commit something to the effect of 80% of all major felonies.
Wow.
So if you go in and you take care of that 1% and you keep them out of the general population, you reduce crime dramatically. So what you have right now is an enormous recidivism rate. You have people that just keep getting let out, they commit new crimes, they hurt new people. And I think these things are solvable. The fentanyl issue is a whole nother thing. You know, you go back to the 60s and 70s, and, you know, it's like, you know, free love, free drugs and stuff. I'm not saying that that's the cause of the fentanyl problem today. I'm saying these were precursors mm-hmm. that we're now seeing the effects of poor policies. And I'm talking essentially moral policies that have affected the family, that affected our communities, and in some sense have affected our nation too.
You know, you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned it by name, but reading in Colorado about the Venezuelan gangs that were taking over apartment buildings and terrorizing rent-paying in citizens, and these were non-citizens. And I read where the mayor, I don't know that the governor weighed in, and I was aware, but the mayor said he was unaware. I'm sitting here in North Idaho. And I'm aware that there are these gangs, and they have videos of them terrorizing. And he said he was unaware. Now, this is an impossible question to ask you, but how is that? I mean, who is this person? How is that possible? Did he lie, or was he truly deceived?
I think we see what we want to see, don't we? I mean, I think that's true of anything in life. I mean, we come to our decisions about politics, about faith, about education, based on our worldview. So what our worldview is and how that worldview is formed determines the decisions that we make in life. So if you grow up on a worldview that is based on, say, a Judeo-Christian ethic, you're going to make very different decisions than somebody who grows up with a worldview that's more humanistic, doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe there's a creator. So you see things differently.
Doesn't believe there's any right or wrong. It's like, I've got a right, you've got a right, you know, whatever you think,
right.
that's great, until your right interferes with me, and then whoever's in power, I wipe you off the face of the earth. And, you know, it's like craziness.
Well, and I think, you know, I used to tell my kids when they were young, I'd say, you know, the most intelligent thing you can do and the best decisions you can make is to, you're pulled over by a policeman, just say yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. Don't argue with them. Don't get your cell phone out. Don't deny. Just be nice. I mean, that's a big part.
That goes a long way.
I know. And you look at, you know, these poor police, they're having to deal with some really hard things. I mean, I see them like you see them on YouTube and elsewhere. And I think, wow, this is a difficult job.
You know, what you just said about just being nice real quick. I was telling you before I was on the telephone today, changing some things out of my Verizon cell phone account. And so I had this, it was complicated. It was long. And she had to read through boilerplate. Everything we did had boilerplate. Anyway, I kept thanking her. I was on hold forever, and then I was back, and then she was back on hold, and this and that. And I kept thanking her, and I told her, I you know what I did on this break? I said, waiting for you. I said, I wrapped a Christmas gift. At the end of this conversation, she said, I could talk to you all day long. She said, I had such a good time with you. God bless you. She got personal with me because I was nice to her.
Well, and I think that all of us get frazzled this time of the year. I mean, we're all dealing with the stress of the holidays.
And the other person is getting frazzled too.
And
you.
Yeah, right.
It's a two-way frazzle.
And I go into the post office almost every day, and I see those poor people working behind there, and they're all my friends, and I go, are you guys doing okay today? You know, and I can tell by looking at them if they are or they aren't. But,
exactly.
Oh, I feel so bad for them.
I do too.
Good people.
Yeah, they are good people, and they take a lot of hurt and a lot of bad words too. Well, you said, forget exactly how you said it, but the issue is our hearts and our morality and our lens as we look at the world. Are we looking at the world through Judeo-Christian values, or at least are we looking through the world with patience and love and some kind of, you know, turning to people that are wise to help us have our opinion on different things and think about things. And what I'm leading up to is this idea of gun control. People think they can control by making a law against a gun when it's the heart of the shooter, that or the intention of the shooter. That's what's got to change, not the gun law.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, but You know, as you know, I lived and worked in Israel and in South Lebanon, which is now under attack right now, although there's a ceasefire with Hezbollah. But when I was over there, you know, everybody carries guns. I mean,
Big guns.
You know, and it's not like you have a choice to be in the military or not. You are in the military unless you're part of the Hasidic, the ultra-Orthodox community. You're the only ones exempt. So everybody is carrying a gun there. You pick them up for a ride, they have a gun. Mm-hmm. And you don't see them ever going off on each other. It just doesn't happen. So conversations I've had even in our own community with people is, hey, you know what? It really isn't about whether people have guns. It's about what are they doing with them, who are they, and what is their intention with them. Mm-hmm. I think that we've kind of got this confused that if we can control certain things in society that it's going to change the heart of man, and it never does.
It never does. There's only one way to truly change the heart of man, and that's through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where the real changes and transformation come. All right, what a good sentence to end this section on, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
What an important word, and one of the things that makes North Idaho such a special place to each and every one of us. We here at Winter Ridge firmly believe in the importance of community and are grounded and guided by our belief in taking care of our own. Each year we give to over 80 organizations, from Kanisku Land Trust to Tim's Foundation. We believe to pass forward success brings community success. Happy holidays from Winter Ridge, and please continue to be kind. We're all in this together.
For half a century, glyphosate has affordably and effectively protected Idaho farmers' crops from invasive weeds. Without it, the impact would be felt beyond the fields, hitting Americans where it hurts, our wallets. That's why the Modern Ag Alliance advocates for farmers' continued access to essential crop protection tools, so food prices don't rise even more. Get the facts at controlweedsnotfarming.com. Paid for by the Modern Ag Alliance in support of Idaho farmers.
We all know just because gifts for loved ones can look like flowers, a spa day, or maybe even planning date night. But what about something that will truly last and protect your loved ones along the way? I'm talking about life insurance. I called SelectQuote to secure our coverage and couldn't believe how easy and affordable it was. I'm 40, and my $500,000 policy was only $16 a month. My husband's also 40, and his $500,000 policy was only $18 a month. And with their same-day coverage, there was no medical exam required, and we were covered by the time we hung up. With monthly payments less than the cost of a bouquet of flowers, this is the perfect time to make sure your family is protected.
Call SelectQuote at 1-800-596-2626 or go to SelectQuote.com to get your free quote today. That's 1-800-596-2626. 1-800-596-2626.
Details on example rate at SelectQuote.com.
Ring in the holiday season with some reindeer riches at the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry. Santa's got you on his list for 12 days of giveaways and a New Year's Eve countdown to cash. Call us now to book your room. Midweek rates start at $59 in the Kootenai Falls Lodge and $79 in our Riverview rooms. While you're here, dine in the Springs Restaurant. Our December specials include soup and salad for lunch at only $8 and half off appetizers and desserts with the purchase of a dinner entree. Come in and warm up at the Kootenai Spa. Our December specials are sensational. A mistletoe pedicure for just $50 and a peppermint bliss body scrub, 30-minute massage and foot ritual for only $115. And join us for December Holly Jolly Hot Spins and Weekend Spin and Win. To catch all our specials, follow Kootenai Casino on Facebook. It's time for a Jingle Bell Bonanza this December, only at the Kootenai Casino. Call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
News Talk 97.1.
Everybody, welcome back in. We are talking today with author Don Otis. He does a lot of things, and one of them, God bless him, is he keeps writing books for us, and the one that we're talking about today is Truth, Lies, and Control, and the subheading or title is Finding Hope in an Upside-Down World. So we're kind of beginning our conversation with that upside-down world. We all know there are things wrong. We might disagree on, you know, how bad it is, or hopefully the big deal is we can come together on solutions. But Don, I thank you so much for being here with us. And I'd like you to focus in for our audience on your chapter on education. Because honestly, when I was reading this and looking at it, I thought, oh my gosh, it is 100% the truth that education is our foundation. I mean, what we teach and how we teach our young people is where we're all going to end up. And it's the foundation, and our foundation in education is messed up.
You know, there's so many good public school teachers out there.
Amen.
And they love their kids. I talk to them at the Y now and then. Yep. I just have such enormous respect for the job that they have to do. I had several conversations with an English teacher in particular who said that her students had such a difficult time during COVID. She goes, you can't just send them home and say, hey, you guys got to do your work. So she said what happened during that time is the really good students, the diligent students, got ahead, and her average and lower students fell much further behind. So there was
a
bigger gap.
Yeah, the majority fell behind.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, you know, and I look back at my own time in middle school and high school, and I think I'd have been one of those falling behind too, for sure, because I didn't have that kind of determination to do well. But, you know, what a lot of people don't realize is that the National Education Association, 94% of the dues and fees go towards more left-leaning, more liberal causes. So when we look at the anti-Semitism on campuses,
yeah,
when we look at the pro-Palestinian thing, and in spite of the fact that we have hostages that are still being held over, and you cannot separate these issues from what's happening in education, because education has definitely gone far to the left, and there's a lot of people on both sides of the aisle who are saying education's lost. Don't spend your money there. But I'm not sure I'm quite yet ready to say that. But if you go back centuries, you realize it really wasn't a school that was responsible for educating the next generation.
Parents.
It was the parents.
The families.
It's always going to be. There's so much responsibility that we have as a society, that we have as busy two-parent income families. We got to send our kids off to school. And we see them on the weekends, and we may see them for a few minutes after school, but they're usually going to be on their social media or on their games or whatever it is. And so we're really not in, you know, including movies and Hollywood. These are all being influential factors in the lives of our kids.
They all feed in. You know, I just want to echo your our teachers, whether they're our public school teachers, are as caught up in this mess as the parents and the students are. It's not one group. They're all caught up in it. And you mentioned technology. Would you just comment for a bit about the destruction of it's a long list, but families and communication and social skills. I mean, technology is
Australia just banned kids from being able to look at certain websites and technology until
17, yeah, or 18, something
so,
like
so
that.
So there's more and more information and evidence coming out that you know, things like TikTok, for example. You wonder why kids are depressed and suicidal.
Yes.
It has a lot to do with the comparisons that we make. So you're seeing kids fall off the Grand Canyon because they want to make a TikTok video. It's like, really? Or they want to go up to a buffalo in Yellowstone National Park because it seems like a really cool thing they can put up on social media. So I'm saying that, look, as I had one mom say to me, well, what am I supposed to do? I can't just take my kids' stuff away. And I go, oh, wow, whose house is this? I forgot. You know, is it your house? Are you making the rules?
Who's paying for that phone?
Are the kids making the rules? Or are you deciding what's best for your family? What's best for your kids? what's best for your family. So I think parents have abnegated a lot of that, saying, well, we just can't do it because all their friends have it, and all their, and it's like, oh, what would I do if I can't get a hold of my kid? What if I really need to reach him? I think, wow, I grew up without any of that stuff, and somehow it's a miracle I survived, kind of without helmets on a skateboard and a mini bike, Barbara.
I know. Listen, I grew up at the same time. We'd leave on a summer day, and nobody, Mom would never see me. I was just gone. She had no idea. Was I kidnapped? No, I wasn't.
Was she glad to get rid of you?
She was. She was kind of happy.
I think my mom was,
see
too.
See me leave. Maybe not as much as your mom was happy.
Thanks a lot. Well, I actually talked her into dropping me off at the foot of mountains in north of Los Angeles, and she was very good about complying.
Well, okay, so education, you talk here about follow the money, and I think at the higher level, like universities and that, they just charge so much money. They're so reliant on federal grants and private grants, and all of these grants, as you say, are left-leaning. So that's, I mean, if they want the money, that's the way they have to go.
Well, and a lot of them have these enormous endowments. I mean, you look at some of these Ivy League schools, they can drop the prices if they want to.
Yes.
They just decide not to do it. And so the costs get passed on to students or to parents if parents feel like they need to pay for it. Or
us, if we're going to have to repay student loans, which, by the way, I mean, just right now, no, do not. I am not going to pay off somebody's student loan. I paid for my own university. My dad did.
I understand education is important. That's not what we're saying. It's not an important thing. We're
true.
Saying that take personal responsibility, again, something that begins in the home. Decide what it is you want for your life. Don't expect everybody else to cover it, you know. And I would say that to anybody's kids, you know. As you give anything to people, doesn't matter what it is, can be free food, it can be free education, you do not have the same level of appreciation for that.
It's true.
The things that we appreciate in life are the things that we have to work the hardest to attain. And, you know, we talked about mountaineering and some of that stuff that I've done my whole life. I think some of the greatest challenges I've had are also the greatest memories that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's education, you put yourself through school. I put myself through school in California.
Going through Peace Corps was the best thing, one of the best things I ever did.
I'd love to see a system where, you know, the government would say, okay, look, you're a student, you want to go to school, we'll help you. But you got to go commit yourself to a third world country somewhere for 6 months or a year, and then we'll help subsidize or help fund you on some level. But go help somebody else, because it's in helping other people that you gain a whole new respect for the world.
You know, Don, you have beautifully segued into our next topic that we want to spend time on now and all the way through to the end of the program, is Don's book, ladies and gentlemen. It's got such detail and such compassion the way it presents these issues about abortion or education and technology. But another big part of the book is titled Finding Our Way Home. It's the hope that is in there. And that Finding Our Way Home, you've got 10 ideas. I know we're not going to get to all of them, but let's get to a few of them. I love that you started with Dorothy on her way home from the Wizard of Oz, because really, I feel like we are in Oz territory.
We are, for sure.
You know?
Or Alice in Wonderland.
It's all just, you know, so, you know, when are the real people going to stand up and tell us the truth? But okay, I want to start with the one you start with, because I love, love, love it. Grumbling versus gratitude. That's hope right there.
Well, we just finished Thanksgiving week, which is amazing. I mean, if we're not grateful for something, the country we live in, this amazing community we live in, for health, for family, there's so much we can complain about. And our proclivity is always to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back to the story of Jesus healing 10 lepers. And one of them comes back after the other nine go off, and he comes back and he bows down and he tells Jesus how much he appreciates what he did for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says to him, wow, weren't there nine others that I healed also? And I think our tendency, and I think again, I hate to keep going back to this during this program, but, you know, your kids are going to get presents for this Christmas. They were served some really amazing meals probably last Thanksgiving. What did they do? Did they express gratitude to the people that give them things, to a grandma, to friends? Help your kids sit down and write notes to be gracious. Oh. You know, so I'd say even as far as, you know, finding our way home, part of the way to do that is don't look at all the negativity in the world. Try to look at and point out some of the things that are working right.
Yeah, even as we look at education or we look at the things like in healthcare or whatever that are going on, there's still, just as you say, a lot to be grateful for and to make sure that you have that you allow that into your life. And Don, that you say it out loud to the Lord, out loud to your neighbors, out loud to your family. Thank you, thank you. You know, I love you. Thank you for being so good to me. The question, therefore, is asked, what can we do? What can we do to bring more hope into whatever area we are passionate about?
I think hope comes from, again, from your worldview. So if you have a hopeful worldview, then you realize that you're not going to fix everything that's broken. You probably can't fix what's broken in your own life very well. And you certainly, you know, you're not going to fix your wife, your husband very well either.
No.
You're going to have to realize there's some things I just can't fix. Look, there's almost half of this country that are frustrated with election results. You can't fix it. We couldn't fix it before either. And, you know, we go through these cycles. But I think it's coming to a point where we say, I can't fix this. I can only fix mostly what's wrong with me. Focus on that. Focus on my family. Focus on my community. Work my way out to a more macro scale by beginning with me. And that's part of what you hear Jordan Peterson saying now as well. He's resonating with young men. Guys like Joe Rogan are resonating with young men because they want somebody to give them a goal, help them to believe in themselves instead of tearing them down, mm-hmm. and to believe that there is good in the world and that not all men are evil, that they can do great things for their family. They can be the protectors or in some cases providers for their family.
There is good in the world, and there's good in every area that you talk about in the book, and then here in this last part about finding our way home. And you want to come alongside that good. You want to emphasize that good. You want to incorporate that good. You want to support it and speak about it and vote for it. Go for the good. Go, you know, stay on that side and, you know, leave the dark side. Listen, we're up against our last break. We're going to take that right now.
The Forge Artisan Pizza in Sandpoint offers a wide variety of pizza styles, fresh baked sourdough bread, delicious appetizers, interesting salads, beers on tap, fantastic wines, and canned cocktails. At the Forge Pizza, we make all of our food in-house and from scratch using nothing but organic Italian flour from a small mill outside of Rome, Italy, and local ingredients. The Forge Pizza, 306 Pine Street, open Thursday through Monday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Half of Idaho teens use illicit substances before they graduate. Some say everyone tries it, or I did it and I turned out fine. But substances can be more addictive and deadly than ever. And they keep us from enjoying the things that make life incredible. So embrace reality. Take the risk. Invest in connections without the use of illicit substances. Welcome to the Unaltered State. Learn more at theunalteredstate.org. A message from Idahoans for Substance-Free Futures.
Did you know that Pool World's 33rd annual warehouse sale is coming up? It's a one-day only event on Saturday, December 7th from 9 to 5.
Yes, I've been waiting all year for this. Pool World's warehouse sale has huge discounts at their Valley store, 13524 East Sprague.
And this year, you can save thousands on 2024 floor models, factory seconds, blemished or renewed spas.
And you can also save up to $2,000 on a sauna.
I definitely need a sauna, and the warehouse sale is the best time to get one at Pool World.
Hey, and they also have in-stock Kona pools at 25% off.
And Pool World will have great door prizes and one grand prize of a Traeger Pro 34. No purchase necessary.
I don't want to miss this.
See you at Pool World's annual warehouse sale, Saturday, December 7th at their Valley location, 13524 East Sprague, right by Target.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Are you a victim of the timeshare trap and think there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, the original timeshare cancellation expert. And I'm here to tell you that there is a way out. All you need to do is give my office a call. I will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free, explaining how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free info kit. Call 800-761-0000. 800-761-0000.
By Wesley Financial Group.
Last year's RV trip, we met a couple with the same bumper sticker. What are the odds?
Your cousin isn't a good storyteller.
He was a podiatrist, or was it a pharmacist?
Huh, you don't say.
Oh, I can't remember.
But she owns an RV protected by Progressive, and you don't. So until you get your own RV, her stories are the most interesting stories you've ever heard.
Wow, interesting.
And when you do get your own RV, save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive.
Oh, anesthesiologist. He was an anesthesiologist.
Progressive Casualty
right.
Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
North Idaho's Radio 97.1.
Everybody, welcome back in. We have got it going on today for you. We're talking with Don Otis. He is a local, he's a CEO of his own company. He climbs mountains. He does all kinds of wonderful things. He's lived all over the world, almost, maybe not quite. And he writes books. And today we're talking about his newest book, Truth, Lies, and Control, Finding Hope in an Upside-Down World. Where can people get this book? I mean, is it on Amazon?
Yes, it's on Amazon. Yeah, you can go there and get it.
Is it in our local bookstore yet?
I don't think so.
Maybe not yet. Yeah. Maybe they will be after this program and people start asking.
I hope so.
Ask for Truth, Lies, and Control, because that's where, if you believe the lie, that's what's going to control you. Mm-hmm. If you believe the truth and you get the truth and you hold on to it, that is what will control you. And it's a beautiful thing when truth is what controls you and leads you. I love it. Okay, things that we can do. One of the things you list that we can speak.
You mean like speak up like on radio?
Like speak up on the radio, exactly. Speak up at meetings.
I like a comment that was made by Robert Bork, who was a Supreme Court nominee. The word being borked is to mean to get canceled. He was the original one getting canceled.
Yes.
But he wrote a book called Slouching Towards Gomorrah. He said the response of liberalism was not to turn to religion for answers, which modern people had seemingly made irrelevant, but to abandon reason altogether. So I think in response to your question, I think the answer has to be to speak the truth. Okay, so some of your listeners are saying, well, okay, I believe what Pilate said when he asked Jesus, what is truth? Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's a pretty amazing statement. Whether you believe it or not, that's another whole question. But truth has to be absolute. So we've gone through the pandemic. We've had issues of truth, issues of gender that have come into question, issues of life that have come into question, issues of laptops that have come into question.
Yes.
Everything is suspect. And now we have artificial intelligence. So that just creates a whole new level of confusion for a lot of people. I go on Facebook, I see photos that have been developed, and they'll say, oh, this is a picture of Mount Whitney. I'm like, no, it isn't. I've been up there 3 or 4 times, and that's not Mount Whitney.
Yeah.
So what happens over time is that we become, if we don't know what the truth is, then we become susceptible to error. And so that's what's happening. So to have discernment, the ability to be able to tell the difference between right and wrong or good and evil, however you want to define that. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to moral issues, I mean, we have to be smarter than artificial intelligence or anything else.
Yeah, I like that connection. We can't speak the truth until we know it. We know it truly deep in our spirit. This is truth. And that takes discernment. I know this is going to be hard, but define discernment. How do we get that? How do we have that? How do we get that into? It's not like a one and done, but how do we develop that?
It's the capacity to know the difference between right and wrong. It's really pretty simple.
Yes.
But here's where it gets confused. If enough people say, well, you know, this is not true. I mean, we go back to 1984, George Orwell's book, War is Peace. This is confusion that begins to reign, but the more you speak it, and Hitler understood this, the Nazis understood this well, the more you speak something, even if it's not true, people begin to start questioning it and wondering if it's true. So you have to follow your intuition, and you have to stick close to what you know to be the truth. So when somebody puts up a placard and we're talking about the dead babies, and you say abortion is healthcare, I struggle with that because okay. I know a baby is a baby. I know that a little boy is a little boy. I understand those things. So part of what I said at the end of this book is don't be afraid to speak up. We've been too afraid to speak up because we're afraid to be canceled. We're afraid we're going to get in trouble at the Thanksgiving table, or we're going to lose a friend, or we're going to lose relationship with our parents. There are risks involved in speaking up for the truth. And I'm just saying it's time for us not to be afraid anymore.
I really like that, you know, and a part of another one that you have that's very much related is to learn to trust our intuition. Now, to some people, that may sound a little bit risky, like, well, it's whatever you think, but really somewhere deep down in our spirit and in our gut, we know, everybody knows that killing babies is not the right thing to do. There are a lot of excuses, and okay, you know, if you want to talk about health care in terms of the life of the mother, the life or rape or incest, fine. But really, the vast majority of abortions, we know, you're killing the baby
right.
for convenience.
I would say that as a hiker, if I'm off trail, I trust my intuition because I've been in the mountains enough to where I know how to read ridgelines. I know how to read where certain things are going to be. So even if I'm turned around, if I trust my past experience, I'm usually going to get it right. Not 100% of the time, but most of the time.
I like it. Real quick, this is kind of a big topic for me to put out here with a minute or two left, but a part of the issue is compromised churches that are not holding to biblical truth, holding to what we know is true. What can we look for when we look for a good, solid church?
I'll try to say this as fast as I can. Look for a church that's not necessarily trying to make you feel good. If that's what you're going for, or if you're going to a church that is afraid to speak up for issues of biblical truth, and if you don't like the Bible, fine. I mean, don't go to church. But
exactly. If
you are going to go to church, don't go there. You know, we're all flawed. We're all messed up. We're all sinners saved by God's grace if we allow him to do that. But don't go to a church that's – look, the other thing that really irritated me in the last several months is there's churches, even those in this community, that are speaking against Christian nationalism. That sounds like such a horrible, evil thing. But in reality, Christians have always voted for principles that are based on biblical truth. So, you know, when I hear a pastor get up and talk about that like it's some kind of a horrible, evil thing, I'm saying, of course Christians have always been for life. Of course we've always been for the sanctity of marriage. There are certain issues that are important to us, you know, and are we supposed to abandon those because they might offend somebody? No. So I would say be careful for seeker-sensitive churches, those who are just going to make you feel good. Look, we all want to feel good. I'm not saying you should go to church to feel bad, but you're not going to get saved unless you understand your need for a Savior.
You need to hear and understand the truth. And I just, Don, I just thank you so much. God bless you. And I just feel that there are so many people, whether you're believers or unbelievers, there's a lot in here about God's way and His truth, but there's a lot in here for anyone to think about and to be challenged in their thinking. All right, that's it. That's going to be the last word. I got it. Thank you so much. That's the program for today. Next week, we're going to talk with Craig Nelson and Fred Arn from the Sheriff's Department Block Watch Program. So again, thanks everybody for being with us. Until next Tuesday, this is Barbara saying take care. Please slow down out there and love everybody. And may God richly bless you, my friends.